Word for our consideration this morning. God's word to nourish us, God's word to strengthen us, God's word to lead us on the path, trusting in his promises in Christ Jesus. And God's word for our consideration this morning is a continuation of the series, Wait Upon the Lord. And here we hear the word once again. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. So I want you to think about waiting on the Lord. And today we're going to hear about Elizabeth. Now Elizabeth is a special character in this story of Jesus' birth because Elizabeth gives birth to John the Baptist. And who is John the Baptist? John the Baptist is the forerunner of Christ. John the Baptist stood out in the Jordan and preaching, and he was eating locusts and wild honey. Now his mother is Elizabeth. And so we hear about Elizabeth in our message today. But I want you to think about this, that this message means really nothing. This message is filled with nothing. Not a thing. Zip. Not a thing. Because Elizabeth's life can be thought about that. Just before our text in Luke chapter 1, it's amazing how the Lord works. In Luke chapter 1, he tells us about Zechariah and Elizabeth. He tells us about the angel visiting Zechariah and telling Zechariah that his wife will bear a son and that he will give that son his name, John. Zechariah didn't believe him. Elizabeth didn't believe the Lord as well. She was barren. They were advanced in years, but they still didn't trust the Lord. Didn't trust his guidance, didn't trust his instruction, didn't trust that what the Lord said he would do. So as we think about this, they weren't going to start a family advanced in years, were they? Think about it. You know, as I read over this text and read over this sermon this morning, I was thinking about my dear wife and I. If the Lord came and told us that Karen would be pregnant, I don't think that I'd believe it, because we're advanced in years. We're old people. We're elderly. You know, because when there's a news article about an elderly person being hit and that person is 65 years old, I'm going, wait a minute here. That's not elderly. But here in God's word, Elizabeth and Zechariah were elderly. And God told them that Elizabeth was going to bear a child. They didn't believe him. And I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about how guilty they felt when the time came and Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. Think about that guilt. Guilt is something that we have done. Now shame, on the other hand, shame is something that has happened to us. The church doesn't say much about shame, but it does. It says a lot about shame in the world and in God's word. And so God is telling us about this Elizabeth and this woman of a certain age that was unable to have children, that she was doomed. And the author here says, just ask her. She owns stock in Olympia Typewriting Company. Think about that. Or she had a ticket on the Titanic. Or she got a seat on the Hindenburg. She feels that she is really nothing, that she goes unnoticed. Unnoticed completely in her life. So, there's other women that she can really be attached to. She can be branded to. You know, it's really something that when she couldn't have children, she felt that shame. And yet she was attached to other women in the Old Testament. She was attached to Sarah, because she was barren and there was not even going to be a child. Or she was attached to Rebecca or Rachel or Manoah's wife or Hananiah, who are also described as infertile. And these women all felt the public shame. Think about it. They're supposed to have children. They're supposed to have these children that grow up and take their place. And they're barren. Elizabeth was barren. And yet she trusted on the Lord. Shame. These women who were barren and fertile, they felt the shame. We all know that feeling. We all know what happens when we're shamed. I want you to think about it in your own life. Have you felt shame? I know I did. I was thinking about this. When I played hockey, there was a time there that I was stick handling the puck in front of the net. No, it didn't go in. I didn't put it in, but I came close. I thought, well, I got the puck. They're all coming at me. My opposition, you know. I'm going to give it back to the goalie. So I'm 2 feet away from the goalie and I lift the puck. And he barely caught it. And boy, did I catch it when I got back to the bench. That was public shame on me. Or the other time, and this was really tough, I was playing baseball in the Babe Ruth League. We were in the championship game. It was cloudy. It was drizzly. I was playing first base. The bases were loaded. All we needed was one out. Just one out. And the guy hit it. He skyrocketed the ball. And I said, I got it! I got it! I didn't. I could have crawled under a rock. I felt shame. Now Elizabeth feels shame because she cannot deliver a child and she's advanced in years. And yet even when the angel came to them and said that Elizabeth was going to have a child, they didn't believe it because of all this public shame that was on her. But yet, God makes a point. God makes a point that she is his child. And because she is his child, she's going to have a child. Out of shame and despair and guilt, she's there rejoicing. She's rejoicing because Mary, the mother of our Lord, comes to her. And the baby leaps in her womb. And you see, this is a basic witness that we have for baptizing infants. That the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb, heard the word, heard the rejoicing.
So that baby is, in fact, life. Life growing in the mother's womb. And Elizabeth, here is that child growing. And yet she still felt like she was nothing. She wanted to say, she wanted to take a time out. She wanted to get away from people. You see, shame is something that is difficult for us to understand. And yet, our Lord took upon himself the shame of the world, took upon himself all the guilt and the shame and the sins, and went to the cross for each and every one of us. That was public shame.
Think about it. The thieves, Jesus is being crucified in between the thieves. The thieves did something horrible. And yet our Lord, who didn't do anything horrible, was placed between them. The shame that he endured for each and every one of us. And Paul puts it this way. Being in the very nature of God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. The apostle continues, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. So this Jesus humbled himself in shame for each and every one of us. He was there for us. So we have Elizabeth, and we have rejoicing. She rejoiced. She rejoiced because Mary was coming to be with her. She rejoiced then, knowing that the child in the womb heard that wonderful greeting, heard that word of God. Elizabeth is finally knowing what great joy it is to be an instrument of God's compassion, of God's comfort, of God's leading. All rejoicing in the Lord. What about us? What about you and I? Do we wait on the Lord? Do we hear his word of blessing, his word of guidance and truth, his word of absolute rejoicing and knowing that Jesus lived, suffered, and died for each one of us, as guilty of sinners as we are? And we hear that word so often when we come to church, that we are forgiven of our sins because of Jesus Christ. And we know that he has lived for us, that he has died for us, and he will continue to do that. He will continue to give us his word through his grace and his mercy. In Jesus Christ's holy and gracious name, amen.